Take your Bibles and be turning in them to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. We'll be reading some verses from Jeremiah 29 in just a second. And since today is Graduate Sunday, I just thought I'd preach to these graduates. I've got them on the first two rows this morning. And whether they want to look at me or not, they got to for a little while. But I think what I'm going to share with them this morning, I hope will be an encouragement to them. It certainly will be a challenge, but it's not only for them this morning, it's to all of us. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I don't know for the believer, I don't know of a more important topic than the one I'm going to preach on this morning. And the title of the message is Knowing the Will of God. And I have to ask all of us, have you stopped to consider that God has a plan and a purpose for you? And that plan and purpose is, you're the only one that can accomplish it. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance. This is the time that God in his sovereign work has ordained for you to be on this planet. And he has something that only you can accomplish for his glory and honor. That's true for my life. That's true for your life. It's certainly true for every one of these graduates. I would say to you, each one of you young men and women, congratulations on what you have done. You've endured. It's been tough. I'm sure some of you are glad this day has finally come. Most of you, it sounded like, are headed to more education, more training, and more preparation for whatever it is in life that you're going to do. And you are to be commended for this step that you have taken. But I would also, at the same time, encourage you, it's really, from this point on, it's really not so much about what you want out of life. We're taught that. You know, go for what your heart wants to do. Make sure you do what your heart tells you to do. And while certainly we'll talk about that in a minute, I'll deal with that in just a second, I do want to say to you, it's really more than about what you want in life. And really, if you want the best life possible, if you want the greatest life possible, if you want to be able to one day at the end of your life look back over what you did on this earth while you had your allotted time, you need to make sure you know, why has God put me here and what does God want me to accomplish for his name's sake and for his glory? And that's really what I want to speak on for all of us. In fact, I would say to every person in this room, what a tragedy it would be to get to the end of life, however long God leaves you here on this earth, and to look back over the years that you were here and find out that you lived your life in total error, that you did not accomplish anything for the kingdom of God. You did not do what he sent you here to do. That's not his wishes, nor is that his will. His will is that we know his will and that we walk in it. So that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is the ones we're going to look at this morning. The context of Jeremiah 29 is really not a good context, because the people of God had been disobedient to the Lord. Because they had been disobedient and had not walked in obedience to God's plan and purposes for his life, God allowed them to be taken over by the enemy, and for almost 70 years now they have been in the land of Babylon under the judgment of a pagan king or a pagan ruler. And over these almost 70 years, God has been disciplining his people to get their attention so that they would repent and so that they would once again seek God's purposes for their lives and turn back to him. Apparently that has happened, or at least it's in the process of happening. And now, even though God has had to judge his people and he's had to discipline his people, now in his grace and in his mercy, he's about to send his people Israel back to their promised land, back to the nation of Israel, back to their homeland, that place that we call the Holy Land. And in the process, he makes them an unbelievable promise. And that's what we're going to read this morning, and that's what we're going to take a look at for a few moments today. So, if you would, please, in honor of God's word, stand with me as I read our verses for today. You follow along there in your copy of the Bible as I read these verses out loud. For thus says the Lord, When 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Lord, thank you for these verses today. I pray that you will take them, speak them, yes, Lord, to these graduates as we honor their accomplishments today. But more importantly, God, I pray that you will speak these verses to every one of us who are in this room listening today, and those who are watching online or those who will watch online in the days to come. God, help us to better understand how to know your will, your plans, and your purposes for our lives here on this earth. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I want you to please be seated. There are three very important facts about God's will made here in these verses that I want you to see and I want you to understand this morning. And I think that it's imperative that the child of God not only see these things, but they also believe these things. And they stand out, very simple, but notice them if you would. Fact number one, these verses tell us that God has a plan for us. In fact, let me just put it a little bit more personal. God has a plan for you, and God has a plan for me. And God makes that extremely clear here in these verses. And folks, just to be honest with you, that truth in and of itself ought to absolutely blow our minds. That the God who created this world by the power of his spoken word, this almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God, would care enough about you and would care enough about me that he would have a plan for my life. That ought to blow us away. What an unbelievable truth. Not only to believe, but to hang on to. That's what God tells us here in these verses. Notice again, he says, I know the plans I have for you. Now, the you there, he's speaking to the nation of Israel. And again, they have been disobedient to what he had revealed to them. But still, they're coming back to God. They're beginning to walk afresh and anew with him. They're beginning to restore their relationship. They've gotten right with him. He's getting ready to send them back to Israel. He still speaks to these disobedient Israelites. I have a plan for you. But I think, even though this was written 2,500 years ago, or roughly 2,500 years ago, we take these verses to speak to us today. God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you. He knows the plans that he has for us, and we'll see what he wants to do with those plans here in just a minute. In Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10, Jesus teaching us to pray. He said, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And what's the next part? Your will be done. God's will for all of us, for this world, but I think even more specifically, God's will for my life, what he has for me, what he has for you. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, so then don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. God has a plan for every one of us. Second fact that we see here in these verses in Jeremiah 29, not only does God have a plan for us, I want you to see here that God's plan is always good. It is always good. It is always for my best. And we see this so clearly taught here in this section of verses. God tells us, and he tells his people, that his plans are for their welfare. And notice what he says, to give you a future and a hope. In other words, God is telling his people that what he has planned for them is for their good. And God's plan is always for our best. And graduates, if I could say one word to you, looking back now over 60 plus years of life and living, let me just say, regardless of what you think about God's plan, it's the best for you. And when you seek for it, God will reveal it to you. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what he wants for you is the best, the very best. And if you want the best out of life, find out what God has for you to do and do it with all your heart. And he promises us here, it's for our good. It's for our welfare. It's to give us a future. It's to give us a hope. You know, it's funny how some people view the will of God. They think, boy, if I give God everything, and if I follow what God has for me, you know, he might send me to Africa. He might make me do something I don't want to do. He might be a killjoy and keep me from doing something I want to do. Well, how foolish that is. God's looking out for our best. He always wants us to experience the best. His plan, his purposes are always for our good. Why would we not want what he has for us? I have to tell you, and I told the early service this morning, I'll tell you, I'm going to use a number of personal illustrations this morning. The reason I'm doing that is I don't know y'all's stories. I know my stories. And I know how God has revealed some of these things to me. So since I can't tell your stories, I want to tell mine. When I got right with the Lord, shortly after I got right with the Lord, God called me in the ministry. That's another whole story. But as I was preparing for ministry, both school-wise and trying to determine where to go, I really sensed the Lord was leading me to get involved working ministry-wise in a church. And through a mutual friend, my name got given to a pastor. And he called me one night to see if there might be some connection and might work out a way for me to go serve as minister of youth at this particular church. I had told God, I don't know that I ever said these words out loud, but you know, God can read our hearts and God can read our thoughts and God can read our minds up. And I basically told the Lord when he called me into the ministry, Lord, I will go anywhere you want me to serve you, but don't send me to South Georgia. Don't send me to South Georgia. My grandparents both were from South Georgia. I didn't like South Georgia. And I like going to see my grandparents, don't get me wrong. But South Georgia was hot. At my grandparents' house, they did not have air conditioning. I was a big city boy from Atlanta, and I thought it was beneath me to go down to these. I went to Mount Vernon in Vidalia. Does that tell you where I was going? You know, that was just a bit much for this big city boy. And here was the worst thing about South Georgia. They had gnats. Had gnats. If you've ever been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, this pastor called me one night. I got on the phone. He told me who he was. His name was James Mallard. He told me he was from First Baptist Church of somewhere. I didn't hear the somewhere. Well, we talked about 30, 40 minutes, and in the process of that conversation, I got really excited about the possibilities of going to his church. And obviously, he must have felt the same way about me because we continued the conversation, and he asked me to pray about considering to come to serve on their church staff. And as we were hanging up, I said, well, Brother James, thank you for this call. I really appreciate it. I said, let me pray seriously about it. Tell me once again, what church is this? He said, First Baptist Church of Dawson, Georgia. And I had no clue where Dawson was. So I said, where is Dawson? To which he replied, it's right above Albany, Georgia. And I thought to myself, there ain't no way on this planet I'm going to South Georgia to serve. Well, I have to tell you, God had other plans. He made it absolutely clear that's where I was supposed to be. I went and had the privilege of serving on that church staff for 5 years, five of the best years of my life. God's got a sense of humor, if you don't believe it, after telling God I wouldn't go to South Georgia. 21 of the next 24 years I spent in South Georgia ministering at various churches. But you know what? I look back now and I know God knew what he was doing. He knew exactly where I needed to be. And by the way, he's God, not me. I better not be telling God what I will do and what I won't do. Wherever God has planned for me, he knows what he's doing, and his plans are always for my good. It's for my welfare, to give me a future and a hope. I'm just grateful I had enough sense to follow him after he began to make those plans known. God's plan are always good. They're always the best. And then the third thing we see here is simply this, and it's certainly implied here, and it's given to us over in the Word of God time and time again. God not only has a plan for our life, not only is that plan good, but God delights in revealing His plans to His people. Now, let me say that again. God delights in revealing His plans to His people. I mean, if God has a plan for my life, and He does, and if it's for my well-being, to give me a future and a hope, wouldn't it just make sense that God would want to reveal it to us? And He does. In fact, I really believe this. God wants to reveal His will for our lives to us more than we want to know it. And I've also come to understand over these years, God does not play hide and seek with His will. He wants us to know it so that He can work in us for our good, and so that we can bring Him glory and honor by the way we live our lives on this earth. He delights in revealing His plan to us. Now, these three facts are clearly taught here in Jeremiah. And what I want to do is take those three things, and I want to share just a couple of ways that I believe God works to reveal His plan to us. In fact, in just a moment, I'm going to share with you some very practical ways that God reveals His will to us. But first, let me give you two foundational, fundamental principles that must be addressed if we're to know God's plans for our life, if we're to understand His will. If God has a will for our life and it's good, and if He delights in revealing it, there are two things that you and I must do, or two attitudes that we must have to be able to both understand His will and to experience His will on this earth. Here they are. Principle number one. There is the principle of willingness. The principle of willingness. And this deals with the attitude of heart that tells God, I'm willing to do God's will no matter what it might be. In other words, I'm willing to say to God, Lord, Your will's best for me, so show me Your will for my life. I will be obedient to what You show me, regardless of what it is. I will follow Your will, period. Now, these people in Jeremiah's time had not always done that. And because they had not done that, and they had not been obedient to God, and they had not been willing to follow His will, they were in captivity in Babylon. What a horrible experience they had for almost 70 years under the hand of a pagan ruler. Now God's working to get their attention. And I think He had stirred in their heart all over again. People, you got to be willing to do what I call you to do. The principle of willingness. Now, that's not our human nature, is it? In fact, if I was to say to you this morning, to the whole congregation, I need a volunteer. Would somebody volunteer? Now, I've only been here 9 months. I think I know y'all well enough to know you're not going to raise your hand, because you don't know what I'm going to ask you for. You don't know whether I'm going to ask you for something simple or something very difficult. You don't know. I mean, being a preacher, you think it's probably involving money, so I don't know. You're not going to just raise your hand to volunteer without knowing what it is I'm going to ask you to do. Now, if I was to give an explanation, then you would make a choice whether you would volunteer or not based on your likes or dislikes. Well, let me say to you this morning, please understand, God doesn't work that way. God's not asking for volunteers. God is not going to show you His will and then say, do you want to do it or not? He is not going to lay out His plan and then ask for volunteers to follow it. Oh, no. And if you do God that way, guess what? You will never know His will, and He will never reveal it to you. No, our attitude of heart must be this. God, I am willing to do whatever it is You have for my life, knowing that it's for my good, it's for my welfare, to give me a future and a hope. God, knowing You're a good God, knowing I can trust You, I'm willing to do what You want me to do, regardless of what it is. Period. One of the most beautiful examples of that in the scriptures is the man Isaiah. I love his story. We won't read it this morning. You could go back to Isaiah the 6th chapter, and you'll find that in Isaiah's life, his life got in turmoil. King Uzziah, who he had been serving for many, many years, all of a sudden died. And now Isaiah didn't know what life was going to bring to him. And out of his desperation, he begins to seek God. He sees God. He has a vision. And he sees God at his high and lofty place. And in the process of this vision, Isaiah gets right with God. And he comes to the place of, once again, wanting to do what God wanted him to do with his life. And as he sees God high and lifted up in heaven, he overhears a conversation of the Trinity and those verses where the Trinity says, "Who will go for us and whom shall we send?" And in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, verse 8, we read these words. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And then I, Isaiah, said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Now, you know, I was studying those verses one day, and it occurred to me, Isaiah volunteered before he ever knew what God was going to ask him to do. He just overheard God saying, "Who will go for me?" And Isaiah, because he understood this principle of willingness, was willing to go for God wherever God wanted to send him, and to do whatever God wanted him to do. And by the way, if God had explained it first to Isaiah, Isaiah would have never gone. Because what God ended up doing was sending him to a bunch of people who he had to preach repentance to that did not want to preach. And he had to go to hard-hearted, rebellious people, calling them to repent in their relationship to God. And they didn't want anything to do with Isaiah. Rejected his message, rejected God. That's what God sent him to do. But it didn't make any difference to Isaiah. He was willing to go, period. The principle of willingness. And if you want to get the position in your life where God will delight to reveal his will to you, you first have to get there too. God, because I trust you, because I know your will is best for my life, I am willing to go wherever you want me to go, do whatever it is you want me to do. Second principle, not only is there the principle of willingness, there is the principle of what we will call wholeheartedness. Wholeheartedness. In other words, I must come to God with my whole heart committed to seeking his will and to do what he wants me to do. In other words, God, I want to do your will more than I want anything else in this life. Again, in my own life, over a process of time, as God began to deal in my heart, as I was trying to figure out what I was going to do in my life and where I was going to go, I remember so clearly God bringing me to the place, I don't know that I would have worded it exactly like this, but it got to the point in place, I didn't care where God sent me. I didn't care what God wanted me to do. I just wanted to do what he wanted me to do. The principle of wholeheartedness. Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." Jesus reminds us in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all the other things of life will be added unto you." Those are two principles you have to have in place. And when they are in place in the child of God, I believe that God delights to reveal his will to each person. Now, how does he do that? What are some of the methods he uses? And for the next just few minutes, I want this to be just as practical and as simple as it can be. There's nothing profound with this, but these are just ways that I've seen and understood over the years that God reveals his will. If he delights to reveal his will to us, this is how he does it. Number one, God uses his principles to reveal his will to his children. God uses his principles to reveal his will. In other words, God uses the principles found in his word, the Bible, to reveal his will to his people. It is through the word of God that God reveals his general will to all of his people. In fact, as you read through the pages of this book that we call the Bible, it's in the Bible that God reveals it's his will for all of us to read the scriptures. I'm going to read some other verses about that in just a second. You don't have to wonder, is it God's will for me to read the Bible? Absolutely. He reveals that to us in his word. It's God's will that all his people pray. You don't have to wonder about that. You don't have to ask God. God, is it your will I pray? Yes, it's your His will that we pray. He speaks that to us in His Word. Is it God's will that I go to church? Well, the Bible again tells us that we're not to forsake the assembling together of the saints. He puts it out there clearly. You don't have to pray about whether it's God's will for you to go to church or not. God has revealed that in His Scripture. Lord, is it your will that I share my faith with other people? Well, again, it's been revealed in the principles of His Word that we're to be busy about sharing our faith with others. So God speaks through the principles of His Word to reveal His will, His general will. These apply to everybody. I had a guy come to me one time. I had got through preaching a series of messages on giving, and he came into my office. I can't believe he had enough, what's the word, gall, to come say what he did. But he came to my office to let me know he agreed with what I had preached, but God had told him he didn't have to tithe. I went, You mean to tell me He tells us in His Word that it's His will for all of us to tithe, yet God's given you an exception? He didn't hear from God. He heard from his own selfish heart. God's already revealed about our giving. We don't have to question it. And that's His will for all of us. Nobody's exempt. But there are times that God does use His Word to speak to us very specifically about His will. I think you see that principle found in Romans 10, 17. Romans 10, 17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, have you ever been reading your Bible, and all of a sudden the words on the pages of your Bible just jumped off those pages, and it was almost as if God was saying them just to you? Or maybe you're sitting in a worship service like this one, or maybe a Bible study somewhere else, and that teacher, that preacher's preaching from the Bible, and all of a sudden it's like that preacher's stepping on your toes, like he's been watching the way you've been living all week long, and God just speaks something directly to you. Do you know that's how God uses His Word? Here in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. There's two words in the Word for the word Word. One of those words is Logos. This book that we call the Bible is the Logos of God, Genesis 1, Revelation 22. This is the Logos of God. And anytime you read from the Logos, it is God speaking. This book does not contain the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. And God speaks to all of us from the Logos of His Word. But folks, there are times that God gives us a rhema. And what that is when the Holy Spirit of God takes the Logos of God and He speaks it directly to you about you. And again, that's the reason this book is a book that's alive. It's a book that's real. It's a book that's relevant. And I don't know how many times over these years God's made His will absolutely clear to me about a specific area of life and ministry because He took the Logos of His Word and spoke it directly to my heart about my given situation. He uses the principles of His Word. Secondly, God uses prayer to reveal His will to His people. Four times in our verses in Jeremiah 29, prayer is either directly or implied, directly referred to or implied in those verses about if you know God's will for your life, you are to seek Him and seek Him with all of your heart. Now, I'm not just talking about a little lay me down to sleep prayer. I'm talking about where you get off and get alone with God and your heart cries out to God and you ask God, God, you show me what you want me to do. And when God finds a man or a woman, or a young person who's serious to get alone and seek His will through prayer, it's amazing how quickly many times the answer to that prayer will come. Jesus set the example for us. In fact, you watch His ministry for 3.5 years on this earth. It's amazing how many times Jesus prayed. In fact, almost before every major event in His life, there was a time Jesus prayed about it. Before He started His earthly ministry, what did Jesus do? He spent 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting in the wilderness. Before He picked His 12 disciples, what did Jesus do? He prayed. Before He fed the 5,000, what did Jesus do? He prayed. Before He raised Lazarus from the dead, what did Jesus do? He prayed before he went to the cross. What did Jesus do? He prayed. And again, when we are serious in our praying, it's amazing how quickly God can bring an answer to us concerning his will. God uses the principle of his word. He uses prayer to reveal his will to his children. Thirdly, God uses peace to reveal his will to his people. He uses peace. I love Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the prayer part. Let your requests be made known to God. And then he says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I don't know how many times over the years God has used peace or the lack of peace in my heart to direct me into the ways of his will. And he does that to the person who is willing to do his will. Just before I left First Baptist Church of Lilburn to go to First Baptist Church of Duncan, South Carolina, to pastor, I'd had a church, another church, contact me about the possibilities of becoming their pastor. And I have to admit, when they contacted me, we got fairly serious in our conversation, serious enough that I actually went to this church to preach in view of a call. Now, that really wasn't my choice. They insisted that I do this. I wanted to talk a little more with them, but they wanted me to come preach in view of a call to be their pastor, so I agreed to do so. And boy, did I ever want to go. The reason? This church was the Valley Isle Community Church on the island of Maui in Hawaii. I mean, somebody had to do it. because of a ministry opportunity that we had had a few years before that on the big island of Hawaii, my name had been given to this particular church. And listen to me. Let me tell you, this church, and if you know anything about Hawaii, you can understand how big a deal this was. They had just purchased 25 acres out from town and were getting ready to relocate their church, 25 acres in Hawaii, and they paid cash for it. And they're looking for a pastor who can help them relocate their church. And on top of that, it was a multi-ethnic, multicultural congregation, which is what I'd been doing in Lilburn for the last 10, 12 years at that point in time. And it's on Maui. It had to be God's will. In fact, I told Robin, you pack while I pray about this, and we'll... I went and preached. Boy, we loved it. It's in Hawaii. Did I tell y'all that? They voted to call me as their pastor. Had a check in my spirit, so I just said to the chairman of the search team, let me pray about this week, and I'll call you at the end of the week and give you a final answer. He said, that'd be fine. Well, we got back home, and God said no. I said, you sure, Lord? And really, he didn't say no. He just didn't give me peace about going. I had no peace whatsoever. And if I hadn't learned anything else over these years, I've learned, if I don't have peace about something, don't do it. Whether I understand it or not. Hardest thing I ever had to do in my life is call this pastor back up and say, brother, I can't come. Well, why not? I didn't have an answer. There was no problems with the church that I was aware of. There was nothing that I saw that would keep me from going. I wanted to go big time, but I did not have peace. And I told them no. To this day, I do not know why God did not give me peace. But I do know I made the right decision. Because of things that happened later and because of doors that God opened a little bit later on down the road, God could see a whole lot further than I could. Sometimes he keeps his peace from us to keep us from doing something. Somebody said this a long time ago, when you're in doubt, don't. If you're in doubt, don't. And that's a pretty good piece of advice. Let me give you the other three things so you can finish your outline. I'm going to pray and we're going to finish up this morning. God uses people to reveal his will to his children. Not just anybody, But how important it is that we have godly counsel. Young people, graduates, if I can say anything else to you today that I hope you'll listen to in making your decisions about what you're going to do and where you're going to go with your life, find some godly people to seek out their counsel. And let me tell you, right now in your life, whether you like this or not, whether you understand this or not, mom and dad are still the primary ones he's going to use to give you the wisdom you need to understand his will. But I know in my own life, anytime I've had a major decision or even minor decisions, I've got a group of men around me, and still to this day that I have, you wouldn't know them probably, but these are guys that I'll call up and say, hey, listen, this is what I think God's saying to me. Help me to understand God's will. Pray for me. Give me your counsel. Same thing with Robin. Any major decision we have, unless we agree together on it and we feel both the same way about it, we don't do it, because I know God uses godly people to give us counsel. Proverbs 11:14, where there's no guidance, the people fail, but in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Fifthly, this morning, God uses providence to reveal his will to his children. And what I mean by providence is that he will use providential circumstances in our lives to show us his will. He will open doors and he will close doors accordingly for us. Paul's a great example of it. In Acts 16:9-10, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And we had seen the vision. Immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, and this is why we concluded that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. A very unusual providential circumstance through a vision, a dream that Paul had, but God made his will clear. And if we're sensitive to what God's doing around us, God will do that. He will use circumstances by opening doors, closing doors. I don't know how many times over the years I've prayed about a matter. Lord, you open doors no man can close, and close doors no man can open. It's been amazing to watch how God can do that. And then sixthly this morning, God also uses purpose and passion to reveal his will to us. God uses purpose and passion to reveal his will to us. And what I really mean by that is this. I really believe when we are really trusting God and we're willing to do what he wants, I believe God will begin to work in our hearts to put a desire in us to do what he wants us to do. Now, we as humans have to be careful with that, because the Bible warns us our hearts are desperately sick and can be very deceiving. But at the same time, I want you to listen to two verses, and I'll finish with this, that speak to this matter. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now, that's just a phenomenal verse to me. If I'm walking with Jesus, if my heart's desire is to please him, if my delight is to do his will, God works in us to cause us to want what he wants for us. I have to tell you, many years ago, when God called me in the ministry, I thought it was to work with youth for many years. I had the privilege of doing that in numerous ways. For a long period of time, I never once dreamed I'd pastor. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I did not want to pastor. I'd watched how churches treated some pastors. Not always good. In fact, unfortunately, in these years of ministry, I found out there's some mean people in the church. There's some godless people in the church. There's a lot of unchristlike people. You wouldn't think that would be true, but it is. I'd watched how some churches had treated two of the pastors that I had served under, and I didn't want to go there. But you know what? God began to change my heart. In fact, so much so, and it's a long story and I won't bother you with it this morning, but so much so that I got to the place there was nothing else I wanted to do. And that's been almost 40 years ago. And folks, let me just say this to you. There is nothing else I have wanted to do and nothing else that I desire to do even more so than right now. And that is being the pastor that God's called me to be to his church. I hadn't always wanted that. But God's been working in me, and he has worked in me and caused me to want what he wants for me. That's a good God. In fact, that's how much God loves us. That he can even work to make you want what he wants for you. And then this verse in Psalm 37, verses 3 to 5, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. And then it says this, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And the truth of the matter is, if I'm delighting myself in the Lord, God will put his desires in my heart, and he will be quick to give me the desires of my heart, because my desires will be his desires. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So graduates, to each of you again, congratulations. But my prayer for you is this, that you will be relentless in your seeking out God's will. You'll be more concerned about what God wants you to do with your life than what you want to do. Delight yourself in him. He'll stir your heart to even want what he wants for you. And congregation, to all of us, boy, I hope that's your desire. More than anything else, you want what God wants for your life. And one of these days, when you finish up your journey through this thing called earth, you can look back in your life and you can say with great praise to God, I have finished what God has called me to do. I've been obedient to his will. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege that we've had to be here today. Thank you for these students that we've honored. God, I pray for each of them, your blessings on the days to come. God, I would also pray for them that you'd stir their hearts, if they haven't already done so, to look seriously at what you want for their life. Lord, I pray that for every person that's in this room, every person that might listen to this study somewhere down the road, or who might even be listening right now. And then, Lord Jesus, I pray right now for that person that might be here today that does not know you as personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart. And could I just say, as we're about to pray and then stand and sing our invitation hymn, boy, if you're here today and there's never been a time you've trusted Christ, can I tell you today what God's will is for you? No doubt about it. God's will for you is to get saved, to give your heart to the Lord Jesus, to come to him, trusting him to be your Lord and your Savior. You say, Ken, how do you know that's God's will for me? Well, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us that God is patient towards you, not wishing for anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Well, my prayer for you today is that you'll come to God. That's his will. That you might come and repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus. And then, Christian, if you're here today and you're not walking where you know God wants you to be walking, right in the middle of his will for your life, would you come to repentance? Would you get right? Do whatever you need to start serving the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we commit this invitation time to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.